This is the For Life and Godliness podcast. Welcome back to For Life and Godliness. This is Season 2, Episode 25. Now, on today's episode, we're going to be looking at another piece of Scripture, specifically Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. And I think this is an important passage of Scripture, and it's one that we should refer back to often, and mainly because I think it's one we don't refer back to enough. The idea of the new self and putting on the new self. So, if you will, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, if you're unaware, Paul's letters, they follow the same pattern. The first half of the letter is doctrine and theology. The second half of the letter is the application. So, how you are to live in light of the doctrine that was just presented. So, you have doctrine first, followed by application, and it's always in that order, informing the mind in order to touch and move the heart. Now, in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4 begins the application portion. Chapters 1 through 3 is doctrine, and chapters 4 through 6 is the application, ending with the wonderful section in chapter 6 about clothing yourself in the armor of God. So you get this beautiful word picture of suiting up with the doctrinal truths of God. Now, looking at the Christian's walk, I'm going to read from verse 17, but we are again going to be primarily looking at verses 20 through 24. This is what the Apostle Paul says. So this I say, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that, in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So let's begin at verse 20. But you did not learn Christ in this way. But is a conjunction. It's contrasting something, so it's showing a difference in something. So we would ask, a difference in what? The way Christ was learned. So to learn Christ means to understand what change has happened to us when we underwent conversion and the implications of conversion for our lives. So Christ is to be learned. That is doctrine or teaching. Doctrine just means teaching. Everyone is indoctrinated by something. We hear this all the time. Well, don't be indoctrinated, or you're just trying to indoctrinate people, or I was indoctrinated by this or by that. Everyone is indoctrinated by something because, again, doctrine just means to teach. So to indoctrinate just means to instill a teaching. The question is whether it is with good teaching or bad teaching. True teaching or false teaching. Or how about this, what Charles Spurgeon said about discernment. It's not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between right and almost right. So let that sink in. But we have doctrine. So in this doctrine, it is the study of Christ, which we would call Christology. Christ is to be learned, and this is also by way of salvation. And we're going to see why this is by way of salvation in the next verse. He says, "If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus." If, a conditional phrase connecting the hearing and the teaching to what you have learned. So if you have learned Christ, then there is a certain way you have been taught him which led to your salvation. Now I said that the learning Christ in verse 20 was by way of salvation. And this is why I make that connection. Both verbs, heard and taught, are in what's known as the aorist tense in Greek, which means it is a one-time past action. Now, we know that we are to never stop hearing Christ preached, and we are to never stop being taught Christ and learning Christ. So since the tense of these two words indicates a one-time past action of learning Christ, we can say that it was the hearing and teaching of Christ that moved you to salvation. And this is also indicated by the phrase, taught in him. First, what were they taught? And by extension, what were we taught? To put off or lay aside the old man, verse 22. To be renewed in our mind, that's thinking, verse 23. And to put on or clothe ourselves in the new man, verse 24. That's what they were taught. That's what we're being taught. So in him or in Christ, this is a favorite phrase of Paul to describe the believer. We must ask, what does it mean to be in Christ? That's what we're looking at, in him or in Christ. By nature, before conversion, we are both in Adam and children of wrath because we are in Adam. That's Romans 5, verse 12, where the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned." So by nature, we are in Adam. And then Ephesians 2, you were by nature children of wrath. So we are in Adam, and because we are in Adam, we are children of wrath. This is what we call original sin. Because Adam fell, we are fallen. We are all fallen. We experience the consequence of Adam's sin through things like disease, sickness, pain in childbirth for women, sin itself, as we see lust and deceit in verse 22, and physical death is a result of Adam's sin. This is also what we call federal headship. Adam is our federal head, or he is our representative. Now, there are those who would deny that Adam is our representative. They would deny original sin and say that we are not affected by Adam's sin. They would say that we are actually born perfect without sin, and we have the ability to live sinless lives. But that doesn't make sense if you think about Christ as our representation on the cross to the Father. Right? If Adam is not our representative, then Christ cannot be our representative. But since Adam is our representative, we need Christ as our representative. Because in Christ, the bonds of the old Adam are broken, and the righteousness of the new Adam is given. In Christ, we are adopted into a new family and a new culture. Now, if all this is true, then we must live in light of all of this. We are no longer to live as we once did, being the old man, because we are no longer the old man we once were, but we are to become the practical expression or the real life embodiment of the new man, which we are now in Christ. This is what the Ephesians heard. It's what they were taught. And they were taught this so that they would no longer be walking in ignorance with a darkened understanding, a hardened heart, and living in all impurities, standing as enemies against God, as laid out in verses 17 through 19. This is the former manner of life that Paul is referring to, that he says we are to put off in verse 22. And this idea of putting off, it means to violently cast aside to the point of killing it. Consider Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which amounts to idolatry. And really, at its core, all sin is idolatry. Right? All sin can be summarized in what Paul says in verse 22 of lust and deceit. The old man is corrupted by lusts and deceit. Therefore, since we are in Christ, we cast the old man aside and we put it to death. We cast off the former manner of life, and then we are to be renewed in mind. Now, this renewing of the mind happens once we cast off the old man. The mind is to be continually focused on the things of God. Because how can we live for Him and to Him if we do not have our minds fixed on Him and His ways? I mean, we cannot even worship God properly and how He says He wants to be worshiped if our minds aren't focused on Him. But it goes deeper than that. The spirit of your mind is directly connected with the new self. The mind we are to have is the mind Adam was to have in the garden. So being in Christ, we are made into the new self, and we are essentially recreated in the likeness of God. Right? So we're born and we're created in the Imago Dei, in the image of God. But this idea of the new self means that we are recreated from the ground up in the likeness of God. That is true righteousness and holiness. And this right here in verse 24 is really the heart of how Paul understands what it means to be a Christian. The word new, it doesn't mean renovated. It doesn't mean fixed. It's not cosmetic. It's not a veneer that you just put up on the outside. It means an entirely new species or character, right? Like I said, recreated, something that did not exist before. And what did not exist before? Righteousness and holiness. The very things that are the likeness of God. Righteousness, your position or your standing before God. Holiness, a life that is set apart from the world. Righteousness is a legal term, a courtroom term, that has to do with pronouncing a just penalty. So the judge is righteous in his determination. You are either guilty or righteous. Well, apart from Christ, we are all guilty. But in Christ, the judge has declared you righteous, free of all guilt. Our holiness is the sacred observance of all duties to God. It is the habit of being found in one mind with God, looking forward to the complete work of being fully conformed to the image of Christ. Now let me break that down. Holiness, as it pertains to God, is pure excellence of His divine nature, right? He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot tolerate anything that is unholy. And He cannot tolerate that because He is perfection. And we, being in the likeness of God, in the new self, in Christ, we are holy in two ways. We are positionally holy when we believe and we're saved in Christ. We are viewed as holy because of Christ's work and His power to keep us and His interceding on our behalf. It assures us that we will not be lost. That's John 6. We are viewed right now as holy. Because the future completion is sure, right? The future completion is sure, we can now be viewed as holy. The second way we are holy is practically holy. The life that we put into practice, how we live, we would call this practical holiness sanctification. The process of being made holy, continually being made holy, or the process of conforming into the image of Christ that is done by the Holy Spirit within us. So positional holiness, future assurance because of Christ, and practical holiness, because we are saved, we are to live like Christ. So the main point that we're really getting at here is, what we've been talking about is what the Puritans called experiential theology, meaning we have a theology that is derived from the Bible that must be lived out. One of the things that we see if you study church history is that when you study the Reformation of the 16th century, the Luthers, the Calvins, the Zwinglis, they rediscovered the precious gems of Christianity that we hold to today, which distinguishes us from Roman Catholicism. You know, those gems such as sola scriptura, right? Scripture alone is our final authority. Justification by faith alone, as opposed to Rome's view of a works-based righteousness. So the Reformation, it recovered these doctrinal truths. But the Puritans, who came after the Reformers, they sought to apply those truths in every aspect of life. They took 1 Corinthians 10:31 seriously, right? Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all things to the glory of God. They wanted every area from waking up to going to sleep to be affected by the gospel. Not just knowledge of the gospel or knowledge of God, but to experience God in every aspect of life. Because it's not just enough to gain knowledge if that knowledge hasn't affected the way that we live. So we must do the hard work of looking at ourselves and saying, have you put off the old man? Is there still some of the old man that you're trying to cling to, that you keep alive? Have you put off the old man? Are you being renewed in your mind? Are you coming to Scripture to renew your mind daily with the Word of God? Are you coming before God in prayer to commune with Him in order that your heart would be enriched and again your mind would be renewed, turned and focused to God? And are you putting on the new man? The man that is made in the righteousness and holiness of God. The man that only wants to live for God in order to please Him. Is that what you are putting on every day from the moment you wake up? Are you putting on the new man? Now, we need both knowledge and we need experience. But we must make sure that we keep the two in balance and in order. Okay, right teaching leads to right living. Or a fancy way to say that is orthodoxy leads to orthopraxy. We must have knowledge so that we understand what we're experiencing of God. If we have knowledge without experience, we can get puffed up and we can get arrogant. If we have experience and no knowledge, then we fall into hyper-emotionalism and we're just tossed to and fro by our emotions, or we're looking for the newest experience. We have to look for something to keep us going. So we must have knowledge, which comes through the Word of God, and then we must have experience, which comes with the application of that knowledge. So we have to have both. We have to keep them in balance. We have to keep them in order. So that is Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24. I hope that looking at these verses has been an encouragement to you. I hope that it has caused you to analyze yourself and your life and go, am I putting off the old man? Am I wanting to put the old man to death so that I may live in the new man? So that I may live to the fullness of the glory of God? Well, I hope that it has blessed you. If you would, I would tremendously appreciate it if you would leave us a 5-star review. Tell us how this podcast has helped you, if it has helped you, if it has benefited you in any way. If you have any questions that you would like answered, questions about the Bible, questions about theology in general, please feel free to send them in. I would love to go over them and discuss them, answer them. If you have any Bible questions about Scripture, something that is, it seems you're kind of stuck and you can't get past or understand certain verses, let me know. Send them in. We will walk through those verses. But until next time, thank you for tuning in, and we will see you on the next one. For Life and Godliness is a production of Servants of Grace. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, let us know by leaving a review. We'd love to hear from you.